Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Let's talk about one of the biggest currencies that we do see in South Africa. I beg your pardon, on the African continent, and that is the Nigerian Naira. It has declined significantly over the last few years, and that's largely on the back of concerns regarding the fact that it was free-floated and not necessarily pegged to a particular price against the US dollar. And the Central Bank of Nigeria at the time had done away with having two prices of the currency, one on the black market and one on the formal market where the exchange would be monitored. All of this has led to significant repercussions for South African businesses and many others who themselves are able to give us some feedback here. And tonight we are decided to speak to Calvin Emmanuel, who's an economist based in Nigeria, to help provide a lot more context around the story, which was a significant one for the year 2024. Calvin, a very good evening and a warm welcome to Kaya Biz, sir.
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you so much. How are you?
Keeping well, thank you. Such a pleasure to touch base with you all the way in Nigeria. I'm hoping that currency is not only weighing you down, but inflation figures, which are upwards of 30%. So just in terms of understanding the Nigerian economy, it's been a challenging year, right?
Yes, it's been a challenging year. And the reason is because I always say, you know, when I'm invited to meetings, to speak at events, that, listen, the Naira has dropped 92% in a decade, in 10 years. Mm-hmm. 92%. And it's majorly on the back of the fact that 10 years ago, the state oil company was remitting $3 billion monthly that the Central Bank of Nigeria used to do balance of payments, dividend remittances, capital remittances from and all other kinds of FX requirements and requests that the market needs. Like 10 years ago, the market needed anywhere between $450 and $500 million weekly to be able to, you know, ensure that there's liquidity. Yes. And there's stability. They operated what they call a fixed peg.
Yes.
Of 3 plus or minus 39 on a daily basis, which means that if the currency floats outside of that band, the Central Bank of Nigeria is obligated to intervene. Mm-hmm. And then you had a situation where crude oil price started dropping. The state oil company fiscalized annual production dropped from over 800 million barrels per year. It dropped to below 500 million barrels per year. You know, the state oil company had issued paying its joint venture cash calls. Crude oil production slowed, sales slowed. There was opaqueness in the accounting of the hydrocarbon sector in Nigeria. Uh-huh. And there was shortness in supply of FX to the central bank required for balance of payments.
Yes.
And what happened was you had record budget deficits that went from just over 16% to like over 40%. You know, budget deficits currently is about 52%. That's the GDP ratio, is about 52%, which is 12% higher than the level specified in the Fiscal Responsibility Act. Mm-hmm. Of 2007. And because of that, the government had to start borrowing money at record levels to finance budget deficits. And it came to a point where in 2019, the past central bank governor had to use what they call ways and means, so central bank overdrafts.
Yes.
I'm sure somewhere in the Reserve Bank of South Africa's CM Act that governs the Reserve Bank of South Africa, there is a provision for ways and means that enables the Reserve Bank to finance deficits in the South African government budget, just in case there's budget deficits. You know, I'm aware that in South Africa, revenues, government revenues, are anywhere around $120 billion on a yearly basis. Mm-hmm. So because of ways and means, the abuse of it, the central bank started creating money into the system that didn't have enough value in the markets to finance. Because when you inject new money through overdrafts into the system, you need to provide productivity that will generate taxes to match up what you've created in the system.
Yes.
Else you have inflation. And that was the foundation for the record-breaking inflation you've seen that came from about 16 to 18% to anywhere around 34% headline inflation today. Mm-hmm. And so I think 33.8%, if I'm not mistaken, that has led to the increase of monetary policy rate to anywhere around 27.75%. You know, because you always have to align the inflation to interest yield curve. So what you've seen typically right now is you have a situation where companies are struggling to open LCs. They are struggling to get FX to fund dividend and capital remittances. MTN is struggling.
Yes.
MTN has had issues with the markets, the debt markets, in the sense that because of the record interest rates, finds it difficult to borrow money. It also finds it difficult to borrow money in terms of normal bank loans. It also finds it difficult to bring in FX from its overseas operations because of the instability in the FX market. So what MTN has done is use what they call commercial papers or commercial notes in the debt capital markets to raise finance, the record financing to finance some of its short-term operations. MTN is on the list of the five top companies in terms of profitability in Nigeria.
Yes.
You know, so this is affecting...
100%, Calvin. And I think you're raising such valid points, right, that have helped us understand the complexities that are happening within Nigeria's economy. It's the, not only the financial policies, but even from a monetary policy intervention, the consequences thereof and what they've meant for everyday Nigerians. Let's simplify, I guess, in terms of liquidity and access to foreign currency. What are the challenges there? In other words, why is it so difficult for Nigeria to get dollars in its market in order for businesses to do business in that market?
So companies are not inclined to bring in investments into Nigeria. There are four primary ways through which you get FX, and the market has been getting FX. 80% of the FX liquidity has been from the oil and gas sector. You know, last year, Nigeria did, a state oil company said it did 196 million barrels in terms of lifting. I think from the records, they should have done 275, which means 79 million barrels is unaccounted for, because of your weakness in this hydrocarbon accounting framework, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So all the other means like foreign portfolio investors bringing in hot money and FDIs, non-speculative investments and diaspora remittances and net export proceeds, I would classify it as anywhere between 18 and 20% of its contribution to liquidity to the FX markets. You know, so if for Nigeria, you can't divorce FX from the oil and gas sector, from the supply of FX to the markets. But what is interesting is that over the last decade, the crude oil production has dropped by 37% alone, but the supply of FX has dropped 90%, which means that there is need for interrogation to the activities of the state oil company, which in my opinion has really not been transparent and requires swift attention from the president. And the president has been very slow in doing that. I think he needs to unbundle it and send it to the markets for an IPO, you know, to ensure there's transparency. There's not been transparency in the accounting for the dollars that comes from lifting crude oil out of Nigeria.
Yes.
And it's also because from 2019, you had a situation where the state oil company has basically structured crude oil swap deals and borrowed about $12 billion just... Today, there's been an announcement that state oil company wants to borrow additional $2 billion to fund operations that doesn't make any sense. So you have a cumulative of $14 billion that's been borrowed from multilateral development banks and international oil traders to finance activities that it simply cannot account for, and that is using Nigeria's crude oil that is supposed to sell and remit to CBN to pay back. You know, and so that's why there is an opaqueness in how much dollar you remit back to the Central Bank of Nigeria to make these obligations and balance of payments. And because of that, the net external reserves, the net asset ratio with the six banks that form the external asset managers for the CBN is, in my calculations, is no more than $6 billion, which doesn't even meet up with the requirements
and
for
remind us of
the 12-month balance of payments.
Yes, and that figure is?
It's anywhere around $6 billion. Even if the government is reporting $42 billion, you know, president gave his budget presentation to the National Assembly today. He was reporting $42 billion, but he is living in fantasy land because the actual number that is not encumbered by swaps and forwards is around $6 billion.
Got you. Calvin, it is such a complex matter to solve for, right? And typically businesses bear the brunt of this. As you've mentioned, the likes of MTN, there's a Standard Bank, which operates Stanbic Bank. And if I'm not mistaken, MultiChoice operates in Nigeria as well. And all of these businesses have often raised concerns around the decline in the Naira and its impact on profitability in that market. Contextualize for us, how has this continued to impact big businesses, but even small businesses and entrepreneurs who are looking to partner, trade and do business were in Nigeria and with peers there, especially on the back of the recent bilateral engagements that took place between Nigeria and President and South Africa?
Well, you know, so the biggest risk for businesses is not whether there is a market. There is a market. Nigeria has, you know, the most populous country in the African continent. The biggest problem for businesses looking to come to Nigeria is, will your internal rate of return be higher than your external risk of currency fluctuation? When you look at black market premium between the difference between official and parallel markets, if you can't answer that question on your IRR being higher than your hurdle rate, then it doesn't make any sense to open FID to bring in capital to Nigeria, which is where we are right now. So it's a question that the president has to solve. And for him to solve it, he needs to answer the question on raising the revenue to GDP ratio, which is very fundamental to all the other macroeconomic indices. Nigeria has one of the lowest averages at between 9 and 11%.
Mm-hmm.
Sub-Saharan Africa has the average of between 18 and 22. I think South Africa has, like, if I'm not mistaken, revenue to GDP around 22%. You know, Nigeria is seriously underperforming. Yes, answer that question. And this is the reason why I think the recent proposed tax reform bills that is currently at National Assembly, is very fundamental and groundbreaking. It's the most consequential set of reforms that has been done in the history of Nigeria since independence in 1960.
Yeah.
Because it answers a lot of the questions across board for how to raise revenues and, you know, create major fiscal reforms that will answer these questions that we've been asking since this interview started.
An unfair question, but a very valid one for businesses who do look for opportunities in Nigeria and Nigerian businesses looking for opportunities in South Africa. Does the currency fluctuation and decline make it difficult to do business?
It does make it difficult to do business, but I also think that this is the right time, you know, to invest in Nigeria because, you know, there is a wave of industrialization and backward integration that is beginning to sink in, for example, with the introduction of the Dangote refinery and petrochemical plant that is, you know, spurring so many other industries. You know, there is a need for B2B. With the shortage of FX, companies are increasingly seeing that they need to adjust their business model to either a vertical integrated model or a semi-vertically integrated model, or they need to pay attention to investing in B2B businesses that feed into B2C businesses. You know, that is a major problem. Some of the, you know, multinational corporations that are exited Nigeria, they majorly had problems with the fact that there is complete lack of B2B businesses in Nigeria, especially in the real sector that serves the B2C companies. And there is a need for companies to invest in that line. So I think that this is the right time to bring in capital to Nigeria. I think things are going to even out. It's not just not going to happen in a sudden dramatic fashion. It will take 2 to 3 years for the markets to begin to stabilize gradually.
Definitely. Let's see what else the CBN can do, as well as the recent changes and reforms that you've mentioned to the outcomes of those. Mr. Emmanuel, such a pleasure speaking to you. Egbon, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Calvin Emmanuel is an economist based in Nigeria, helping us fully unpack the impact of the devaluation of the Nigerian Naira, especially against the US dollar, where it has declined by almost more than 100%.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.